6:45, quarter till 7, spectacular sunrise with some violet and pink and blue hues of sunrise in the sky behind the Crescent City Connection, lit up in purple and gold. And it's going to be a great day for the city of New Orleans with the inauguration of Helena Moreno. And let's hope it just portends 4 years of great things to come. Becky Mowbray joins us now, President and CEO of BGR. How you doing, Becky?
I'm doing great, Tommy. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for coming on. I know you didn't come on for this, but you got to be a little optimistic about where we stand as a city, huh?
Absolutely. Today is an important day for the city of New Orleans and the metro region as a whole.
Let's talk about the report about paying for drainage and what it does. Tell me what prompted the report and what did you find?
Sure. So, as you know, our drainage system in New Orleans faces major challenges, especially in terms of funding. And the existing revenue sources that we have to pay for drainage so that people's homes and businesses and cars don't flood are insufficient. The Sewage and Water Board spends right now about $90 million a year on drainage maintenance, but it actually needs about $125 to $150 million a year and even significantly more for capital projects. So we did this report because there are likely to be questions going before voters in the not too distant future about how we should pay for drainage. And that's because two of the three taxes that pay for drainage at the Sewage and Water Board are going to expire in the next 6 years.
Are we talking about millages here, Becky?
Yeah, two of the three millages are going to expire. One expires next year, another expires in 2031. And so there needs to be a conversation about how does the city of New Orleans pay for drainage.
Let me slow you down a little bit. Let me just slow down a little bit here so we can understand because it's early. So
$90
million, that's what they spend, which is insufficient. They need $125 to $150. So if these millages are renewed, that's still going to keep them at $90 million, which is still going to keep them short of $125 to $150. Am I right there or not?
There's that. And if you just renew the existing taxes, that means that existing taxpayers would see a big increase in their bills. But there is another path forward that the Sewage and Water Board is considering, and that is to create something called a stormwater fee. And it's a fee, not a tax. So it would mean that nonprofits, that could be things like universities, hospitals, any religious institutions, would need to pay into it, and also governmental bodies would also need to pay for drainage. And right now, those entities benefit from the drainage system, but because they're nonprofit, they don't pay taxes, so they don't support it. So there's going to be a conversation that occurs possibly as soon as this year about what's the right mix here of does the Sewage and Water Board propose adding a stormwater fee into the mix? Because if they do that, it would broaden the base of payers for the system, and it would bring in new money with less of a burden to, you know, the homes and businesses that pay property taxes.
Let me go back for a second. 125 to 150 million is what's needed. That's not including capital projects. So that's just to maintain what we have now and to keep the drains open, to keep the water getting to the canals. Tell me what that
is. Yes. 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 It's just to maintain and repair things in the existing drainage system. That's the system we've got. The capital projects, and great question on your part, Tommy, is really scary. So it's estimated that there's about $800 million in capital projects that are needed for the Sewerage and Water Board, but they only allocate $7 million a year.
Now let me just repeat that. $7 million allocated, $800 needed. That's kind of analogous to it. It has nothing to do with this. I'm just making an analogy. All right, that's kind of similar to the police overtime estimate in the budget and what was actually needed. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, what it said to me, you know, when we were working on this report and the research team, you know, came up with these figures, we're never going to get there. If you're only allocating $7 million a year for capital projects, and we've got a backlog of capital projects that are needed of $800 million, you're not going to get there with
If you don't have enough money to maintain what you have, that list of capital projects is going to keep going up, maybe faster than $7 million a year, right? I mean, you're not going to even keep maintain where you are. Let me take a break. Becky will pick it up. I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'm just trying to make it understandable at this early in the morning.
It's great.
It's a mess, man. I'm telling you, it really is. And the only way it's going to get fixed is people paying more money. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, talking about how the Sewerage and Water Board can come up with a fair and transparent plan to pay for drainage in New Orleans. Maybe if everybody had a pan, it might help. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 656, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Becky Mowbray, I guess, President and CEO of BGR. Becky, the feeling I'm getting is, I want to buy a house, or I own a house, actually, and I called somebody in to look at it, and the plumber came and looked and said, okay, boy, you're looking at a lot here to maintain this and a lot to fix this up. But unlike buying a house, nobody has a choice of walking away here, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason why we did this report is because, you know, there needs to be this conversation now about how are we going to pay for drainage? What's the best way to do it? And you know, when we did our candidate Q&As last summer for the mayor and council elections, and just talking to people around the community, you know, there's a lot of folks who are aware that this stormwater fee may be something out there as a proposal, but everybody's like, I could potentially, nonprofits and things are, and public officials are potentially interested in it, but they're wary because they want to know that, that it's going to, if you create a stormwater fee, that it's going to actually make a difference. And public trust in the Sewerage and Water Board is low because of all the, you know, billing issues they've had in the last 10 years and things like that. And so what we did at BGR was come up with this report to put out recommendations for what are the hallmarks of a well-designed stormwater management fee so that it would help public officials, elected officials, folks at nonprofits, and just regular citizens follow the debate whenever it comes up and figure out whether, you know, the Sewerage and Water Board is coming up with a good proposal and then help shape that proposal. Because, you know, if our community does this, you got to do it right. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very important to figure this out. So BGR doesn't actually have a stance for or against a stormwater fee at this point because the Sewerage and Water Board hasn't put out a specific proposal. What we're advocating for is a high quality proposal.
It seems like we only have 20 seconds here left, but it seems like we need to get the Sewerage and Water Board with a quasi-state-city organization. It seems like everybody has a hand in it, but nobody's responsible for it. And it seems like you need to get it away from the state and make it all with the city. Thoughts?
We have advocated for a while for a change in the structure of the Sewerage and Water Board. We don't think in its current form, we don't think it serves people well. And there are, you could fold it into the city or you could really strengthen its independence. But
thank you, Becky.